What's up, everybody? Checking in from day three of ZCon 4 with another episode of ZCon Sessions. Right now, I've got Chris Tomeo from the Electric Coin Company, who I used to work with and have a lot of respect for. So I'm super excited for this conversation. I think a good way to always start these is like just a quick introduction, what you've been working on like for the last little bit. And then there's a specific topic I want to talk about today, but let's do the intro first.
All right, cool. So my name is Chris. I've been working at ECC for a year and a half in official capacity, but I started working with Zcash in a different capacity in like 2018 or 19. At ECC, I do comms and media and digital and just lots of different support functions on the internet, like marketing realm.
Very cool. Very cool. One of those items that you have worked on in the past was a poster called "Privacy is Normal" in that phrase. It ended up going very viral. So if you're not familiar with "Privacy is Normal," it originally was posted in a response to something saying that crypto can only be used for crime, and then Vitalik retweeted it, and then in the event of some of the things that happened last year in the privacy space, a lot of organizations within just the broader cryptocurrency space outside of Zcash just took the poster and ran with it. And it went viral for a solid few weeks. And that has been the slogan. I mean, I was recently at ETH Amsterdam, and that was the "Privacy is Normal" was the slogan.
Oh, cool. Cool.
So that is even extending and being used into this year.
But also,
what was the inspiration? How did you, the poster is brilliant. It outlines just normal people needing privacy, and what was the inspiration? What caused you to work on that?
So in I think it was 2019 when I had really sort of fallen into the Zcash world, I started working on this idea because what I found is that when I tried to talk to people about privacy and what Zcash was, they were kind of like cool, but whatever, and would just kind of like move on to the next thing. And I felt like there was some kind of a disconnect between what privacy is and how people feel about privacy, maybe. So what I mean by that is that, you know, privacy can be a triggering word, and it can trigger someone to run away or like abandon the conversation.
Yep.
And I think that's because a lot of us view privacy as a conflict. Like, privacy is a weapon against some nefarious force, like surveillance or manipulation. And that's like anxiety. Now, this is what brings on anxiety, right? So people just either don't want to talk about it, or they don't think they need it, or whatever. And so I was trying to figure out, the way I like to view privacy is like, actually, privacy is empowering, and it allows us to do all of these things. And in fact, without privacy, you know, humans cannot flourish. Humans cannot function. So part of the thing was I was trying to connect the idea that we all actually use privacy and enjoy it. And if you read through the poster, I think it kind of starts out with like very you know, things that make you smile, like moms and foodies and bicycle messengers. And then it kind of gets dark a little bit, but it ends with sort of a sunrise about creativity and, you know, some of these like very empowering, optimistic kind of concepts.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that actually the original, when I started playing with the privacy is normal stuff in 2019, it was like a series of photographs. It was like somebody dancing in the kitchen, and it just said privacy is normal. And it was like somebody talking on the phone, or and it was just said privacy is normal. And nobody really liked it. I tried to publish it, but nobody was really into it. And then one day I was talking with some colleagues at my branding agency, and I was trying to explain it to them, and they were like, you should just write that down. So I did, and I'm proud of it. I'm happy to see that it's still out there.
Yeah. What was the original Because you wrote it down, but there was like a moment where you did put it out into the world. So what was like the, or what was the kind of the moment that you originally, because I don't think people realize that the poster had been around for a little bit before it caught on. Caught like a firestorm, you know, within the latter end of last year, around like August, September.
Nobody was really interested in it. Nobody wanted to publish it. So I think I just like included it in an ECC newsletter, like, hey, download this poster. And then maybe 6 months later, it started to appear. But nothing at first. Like, you know, I just put it to bed.
How do you feel about the impact that that's had? How does it, like, it's obviously very cool to see that out in the space, but do you think at times within, you know, obviously cryptocurrency space, privacy is a very hotly contested topic. And do you feel that there's like a barrier to entry for like normal people just wanting to come in and adopt? So like, if you're coming into this space, like you just kind of buy whatever and then people tell you it's not private. And then you go to the privacy space and it's kind of like, it has certain connotations. Like, do you feel that that's really hard for normal people to come in and accept? And that this poster might be like that kind of speaking out into the world?
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, it's really hard. Yes. 100% agree. And then even when you get into the, okay, I think I understand what crypto is, even understanding privacy in crypto after you're already there is really difficult.
Yeah.
It takes a while, I think, until you see it happen. Sometimes like it just never comes around. So, I hope it's helpful. It's either funny or people like that are my non-crypto friends think it's cool. Like, I don't know. They're into it. They're like, oh, I would wear a privacy historical t-shirt, you know? I don't know how deeply they're, you know, invested into the idea of it, but it's catchy.
Yeah, because like, do you remember that experience when we were like at Mainnet and we had that booth?
Oh, yeah.
And we had the t-shirts. We had the poster actually printed out and people were coming up like, all over. They're like, oh, I saw that on Twitter. I saw this here.
Yeah.
Taking pictures on the t-shirts. Like, how many times are you wearing that t-shirt? How often do you get like stopped in the street? And so like, for people who don't know, the privacy is normal poster then inspired a privacy is normal t-shirt. Like, how often do people kind of like stop you on the street and say, where'd you get that? What's that for?
Not too often. People, you know, aren't that friendly and extroverted usually, but, you know, it's like when I wear it to, you know, somebody I know is like, oh, that is cool.
Yeah.
What is that? Or if I'm at a conference, like, you know, not like this because everybody's here knows privacy is normal, but at Mainnet or something like that, they're like, that is awesome. I need that. Where'd you get it?
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
It's really funny because my girlfriend was, she's kind of like, she came to watch one of my talks. So she was like hovering around the conference area and she was wearing the t-shirt.
Yeah.
And someone who I think is from one of the organizations at the event and works in the space, went up to her and was like, oh my gosh, like, where do you get this t-shirt? Like, what does this mean? Like, what is this all about? And her obviously being not involved in the space and not, like getting, not really studying it too much, just kind of was like hands up, I have no idea. But it's even extending past like our friends and our families are now wearing it and they're repping it.
Yeah.
And it's getting that message out there. I think that's kind of for me, you know, this is something I talked about in my talk yesterday. I've always been like, privacy is a weapon against the tyrannical state.
Yeah,
I've always, and we work together.
So you're like that conflict guy. You're dark cloud. I'm sunshine.
I know, exactly. So I think it's like, those messages are important, right? Like, and you need to kind of have that, I think, within these ecosystems and kind of maybe have that mentality at times. And I'm drawn to that personally.
Yeah.
But that doesn't scale, right? So I think scaling the adoption of Zcash and these types of things, I think those narratives are particularly important that we can attach to the brand and also to the protocol and the currency that we're using. Like, we shouldn't be using things that are leaking all this information and potentially putting us at risk.
Yeah.
What do you think is, what do you think we could then use with these narratives, like when we're trying to drive more user adoption? What would you, from your position and your experience, what would your advice be to this conference has been very community centric. What would be some advice or some thoughts you have to the community builders out there who are trying to craft narratives and drive adoption and not convince people,
yeah,
show people information about this stuff. What would you be advice to those community builders?
There's lots of approaches that work and don't work. I mean, I think that different communities respond differently to different tactics, I guess. There are plenty of audiences that would react and take action based on fear tactics or, you know, sort of like looking under the rug and seeing what's actually happening. I think it's really insightful to like meet some of the teams here that are from very different communities than I'm from, you know, like the Zcash Brazil folks, who have like a whole different set of norms and life challenges and life celebrations. And like, so I think just like meeting people where they are, or better yet, meeting people who are already there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's hard for one of us to go into a community like in Zcash Brazil and make an impact. It's much easier for us to help them help their own community.
Yeah.
So maybe it's like that, let me help you help them kind of thing.
It's all just like
empowering,
working with these groups and providing support mechanisms and making,
yeah,
sure that they have.
Finding the seeds that have already been planted and helping to nurture those seeds to grow the forest.
It's like the privacy is normal stuff. Even today, like the conference I went to was like 2-3 months ago, right? It was very recent and it's,
yeah,
that's still being used. So like,
I will say this, yeah, however, when I walked into ZCon and I sat down for the first session at my table, there was like all these little pieces of feedback that people had submitted over the thing.
Yeah.
And the one that I read was like, stop using privacy as normal. It's overdone. Well, that's okay. Like,
I mean, I think that's okay, but I think the cool thing about it is I don't even know if we're the ones at this point kind of driving that. It's just more of a community thing. I think everyone in the space, from people on the regulatory side who are defending the right to privacy and private transactions and anonymous speech, and then obviously,
yeah,
us on like, you know, the community building and comm side and engineers, everyone's using it now, and it's,
yeah,
kind of like, it's out in the wild, it's there, we can't, it's never going to stop. So
it's awesome. I hope it's used 10 years from now, and when I'm a very old man and I can look back and say, truly, it is normal.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if that was the case. Chris, thank you so much for the time. Thank you so much for all your contributions to the space. And yeah, you've made a everlasting impact. So
awesome. Thank you.
Thanks for telling the story and thanks for the time today.
Of course. Thanks, man.
Cheers.